35 degrees in Kalamazoo, 307, 590 WKZO. We'll find out from Bob Larson coming up later in the hour just how cold it's going to get tomorrow. It is supposed to get cold and stay cold, and then Sunday night into Monday, some snow. Something to look forward to in our weekend. Jeremy Lawrence in with us. Raj Taylor. Denny is away at the moment, but he's here someplace.
Floating around the building somewhere. I got to say, by the way, that was a really nice air guitar that you just did. I really was impressed.
I like that song. that's my kind of music.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
I listen to ZOX, not because, I'm sorry, 96.5.
There you go.
I listen because that's my kind of music. I show up in the ARBs myself because people over 65, I'm that one listener to Z96.5. I show up, honest, I do. We got a busy afternoon coming up, and here in a few minutes when we find Don Cooney, he's going to join us in the studio. As I'm certain you know by now, the world lost Nelson Mandela yesterday, and Don Cooney actually met him in person.
You know, I'm actually interested to see what that's like. I mean, how many people that you know, you can say, yeah, they knew Nelson Mandela. I mean, you know, just I'm intrigued. I want to know more.
Oh, yeah. And he could perhaps give us some insight into the person, how he carried himself when he was having casual conversation.
Well, you always get that view in the media of, you know, this is who this person is.
Yeah.
And in person, it's always different.
Yeah.
Always different.
Well, and
except for me, but, you know.
That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And but it'll be interesting to talk to him about that, hopefully here in just a few minutes. Prepared for cold weather, family ready. Tomorrow, the high, 22.
Oh, that's downright balmy this time of year. You know, the sunscreen. Come on.
You lived on the east side of the state. And it never gets as cold here as it does over there because we're close to the lake. Remember those sunny days you used to see in the winter months on that side of the state? We don't get those here.
Oh, okay.
It'll be cloudy now till April. And
at least we know when spring arrives. You know,
right, when the sun comes out.
Hey, the sun, I remember that.
But it doesn't get cold here. I have a good friend that lives in Madison, and we'll talk, and he said, it's sunny and 12 below, and it's 10 degrees above, but snowing like crazy here.
And you have to say cold, comparatively speaking, of course.
Yes.
Because the last couple of years I've been in the South, so, you know, cold there is like, oh, brr, it's 50.
Yeah.
to which I usually responded, cry me a river. But, you know.
In a former life, I used to have to go to the West Coast a lot. And I used to find it humorous in Los Angeles. The overnight temperature would be in the upper 40s. Highs in the upper 60s, and people with down jackets on and mittens, and I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. If you're not used to it, it seems.
One of the best stories, and I can tell this on the guy because he's not in the listening area.
We do stream.
Yes, of course, of course. But I could tell the story on the guy. It was a guy that worked for me, and he told me, and this was when I was in Louisiana, he told me, oh, the winters are brutal here. And I kind of said, okay, you guys get blizzards and ice storms then? Well, no. Okay, when you have one of those, let me know what that's like.
Yeah. What did he define as brutal?
Brutal. I think he was thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 50-degree weather. And lots of rain. I could deal with that in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be all over that. But but I can deal with the cold, too. That's fine.
I had a friend who, in retirement, bought a condo in Gulf Shores, mm-hmm. similar climate to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And he said all winter long there would be half a dozen days when it was too cold and rainy to golf.
Mm.
And that's how he determined really bad weather, when you couldn't golf, then that was a bad day weather-wise.
You know, you could golf just about any day. The question is, if there were, say, a foot of snow on the ground, would you find your golf ball?
Yeah.
So that's the question right there.
Do they make brightly colored balls for winter play?
They actually do make, I've seen orange golf balls, of course, and then I've seen glow-in-the-dark.
Ah, so for you can actually golf.
Yeah, nighttime golf.
Yeah.
Some people do that sort of thing. Not me.
Uh-huh.
Some people say I don't play golf at all when they watch me play golf. So,
oh,
you know,
okay.
That's
I drove by a golf course once or twice, but that's as close as I've ever come.
You're probably the better for it. There's a whole lot less frustration in your life.
It's... Well, and golf isn't cheap.
No, it isn't.
I remember one day I was letting my dog out next to Lowe's, and it was a beautiful spring day, leaves just popping out,
mm-hmm.
and the birds were singing, and then all of a sudden I heard a string of expletives that would make a sailor blush. And then I see a golf club flying through the air, and it occurred to me that I don't need to get involved in that golfing thing. Hi, Don Cooney. How
are
you?
Hey, Raj. Good. How you doing?
Good. Do you golf?
No.
Good.
No.
Me either. So
I'm the only frustrated one in the room. Okay, that's good. As long as we've defined that.
Well, let me introduce you. Don Jeremy Lawrence. He's
good
our new
good to meet you.
Brand manager for WKZO.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to be in afternoons with us. And,
all right.
And I also keep him in line. So.
Oh, that's a tough job.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do it. Don't get in line.
He's got his whip in his chair ready. Well, Don, the reason we invited you by is you actually met. Mm-hmm. Were you in South Africa at the time?
No. I had worked in the anti-apartheid struggle from about 1978, and actually I continued to work in it till about 1994.
Okay.
And then after that, worked in a wider struggle in Africa. But when Mandela was released from prison, he went around to speak in the different cities.
Uh-huh.
And that was in 1990. And when he went to New York, they invited some of the anti-apartheid activists from around the country to come and meet with him.
Mm-hmm.
So about 60 of us met with him in New York just after he was released from prison.
Yeah. Give us a sense of the man. The media has painted a picture of him, and certainly history has.
Yeah.
But to be in a room with him as a person, what's he like? What was he like?
You know, the first thing that struck me about him was his humility. I mean, he walked in the room. We were all there. And he walked in the room with a big smile on his face and reached out and said, the first thing he said was, thank you for joining us in the struggle and how important it was what the people here had done as part of the struggle. So that struck me right off the bat. He felt like, you know, you could be friends with this guy just like mm-hmm. you just knew him. Second thing was his humility. I heard a commentator earlier today say that when he was in New York or when he was in Detroit, he went and visited people in the assembly line mm-hmm. and said, I'm one of you. And that's exactly the feeling that you had when we met with him there. And to my surprise, he talked strategy with us. Where
really?
Are we going? What are we doing? What do you think? And tell you the truth, we were kind of scared that he was cooperating too much with the big corporations that were there, because mm-hmm. we thought that that was going to lead to a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he responded, you know, I don't have an awful lot of choice. They got the money. They control the economy, mm-hmm. and I have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an honest exchange. I mean, he took us serious. We weren't just ornaments, and he was going to town and walk out. We met with him for an hour.
Yeah.
And he was still pretty fragile. You know, he hadn't been out of prison that long. But it was sort of was the culmination of so much struggle that we had all been in for so long. It was just, you know, and he was the symbol of the struggle. So to be there with him in his triumph was just so, so exciting.
How do he seemed to be able to put aside bitterness.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I had as big a chunk of my life taken away from me unjustly as he did, that I could remain as unbitter as he was.
Forgiving, for that matter. Yeah.
Yeah. How did he do that?
You know, he had a depth to him that is very unusual. A friend of mine was on Robben Island with him. A man named Dennis Brutus, who was a poet in South Africa and a member of the African National Congress and a resistor. And he told me what it was like on Robben Island. He said that he was beaten so badly. He wrote a poem called The Tattooed Lady, because his back was so black and blue from the beatings that he got, that when he would take a shower, the guards would call other guards over. Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of struggle those guys were in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to transcend that. And, you know, if you read, I mean, if you listen to any recordings of the speech that he gave at his trial, he, you know, they advised him not to speak because they wanted to put them to death.
Mm-hmm.
But their lawyers were arguing for life in prison. So he was advised not to speak. But he said, no, I'm going to speak. I have to lay out why we did what we did and what our goals were. He spoke for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the speech, he said, my Lord, I have fought against domination by whites and against domination by blacks. I have the vision of a democracy, a non-racial democracy, and that is what I hope to spend the rest of my life for. But if necessary, it is what I am ready to die for. And I think that just showed the depth of his commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a dignity about him so that the guards there called him Mr. Mandela. And, you know, he did things there to keep himself sane, like he planted a garden. He played chess. They had soccer leagues, and he wasn't into the soccer so much, but he would be a part of it in some way. So he did other things, and he also taught classes there.
Mm.
And I think one of the things that he did was he encouraged others not to give up, not to get, to become bitter, and not to lose the vision of why they were there, and not to lose their basic humanity. They tell, you know, they had distinguished, because there were white guys there, too.
Mm-hmm.
We brought here to campus one of the, Dennis Goldberg, who was one of the white guys that were arrested with them and sent to Robben Island. They made the black guys dress differently. They would give them brown sugar and not white sugar. And Mandela resisted all those things. Any little thing to keep his dignity about him. So he maintained his dignity through all these struggles. And I think that he saw it, because he was the leader, as his responsibility to keep the others there. And he managed to do it. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, it may have been that commitment to the others that gave him the inner strength to keep going.
Yes.
If they broke him, then they broke the spirit of the movement.
Exactly. Exactly.
One thing I wanted to ask, too. You've met the man. You obviously have a firm grasp of who he was and what he was about. You've been paying attention to what the media has been doing the last 24 hours since since the announcement of his passing had come. Do you feel like the kind of man that they're memorializing, I mean, do you feel like that is who it was? Or do you feel like he would say, no, that's not who I am. Where is that on that scale?
I think he would resist the idea of putting himself ahead of everybody else. He would want to see himself as part of a struggle, as part of a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always do that. When there was talk of him, he would bring it back to the movement.
Mm.
And bring it back to the struggle. So I think that's important to look at that. But I think the coverage has been fairly good. From what I've heard, anyhow, it's been pretty good.
Okay.
You don't find any myths being continued? It's realistic in your mind?
You know, one of the things that's real about him is he made some sacrifices there, and he also cost his family.
Mm-hmm.
He left his family.
Mm-hmm.
To get into the struggle. And his family resented it. He had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said at the end of his autobiography that, you know, to be the father of a nation is a great thing, but to be a father of a family is a great thing. I sacrificed the one for the other. And that was a piece that was hard. But I think the guy maintained a stature and a dignity and a focus all his life. I think one of the telling points was that he only took one term as president. A lot of people were encouraging to take another term.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very clear that he wanted the democratic process to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that he wanted to step down afterwards.
Well, that's that humility that you mentioned.
Right. Right.
Kind of put him on a level, maybe a modern day George Washington, that kind of
a lot comparison. Of people have made that comparison. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. He was a step. He was just a different kind of a guy, you know. One of the things I'd like to mention is, you know, there was a lot of Kalamazoo connections to the struggle. And I'll just mention a couple of them. Howard Wolpe, for one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was head of the African Subcommittee,
mm-hmm.
and he fought really hard and was successful in overcoming a veto by President Reagan, which was the only veto, I believe, in the 20th century on a foreign policy by the president, because Congress had passed a bill to outlaw any new operations in South Africa by American corporations, and Reagan had vetoed it, but... Wolpe played a big part in overriding that veto, which was a wonderful thing. One other thing that very few people know. When Mandela became president, they had to revamp the whole social welfare system in the country because it was all about whites. So he chose to run the social welfare system, a graduate of Western, a woman named Leila Patel, who was a student of mine. She was a so-called colored. And when he wanted to revamp the whole, so he put her in charge of the whole social welfare system in the country. And she did that for 3 years and restructured the whole system. And she was a graduate of our school of social work at Western.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is a Kalamazoo connection.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you mention he was my faculty advisor when I was in school. And
he did a lot of really wonderful things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brilliant man.
Yeah.
And like Nelson Mandela, humble, not a huge ego.
No. He's a good guy. And Mandela came specifically to see him when he was released. To thank him for being the leader in the divestment stuff. The other thing I would mention is, you know, Western, we fought for divestment at Western, and we were the sixth university in the country to divest. Eventually, 112 divested, but we were the sixth here at Western.
Oh. Did you lead that movement?
There were several of us. Reverend Don Van Hoven,
who was a minister
on campus.
Yep.
Alan Jacobs from Anthropology Department, who died. Leander Jones from Black Studies, and many, many students. We had an organization called the South African Solidarity Organization. We worked for 3 years to get Western to divest. And it came to a climax when 11 of us were arrested for disrupting a Board of Trustees meeting. And they took us to trial, and the trial lasted 5 days, and we made it a trial about apartheid. And a month later, the Western divested from South Africa.
Was there any what did the board, what was their reaction? Did they move quickly on that, or was this a long, extended?
It was a three-year struggle. A three-year struggle with a lot of fight. But in the end, they divested. The other thing that people should know is that in the mid-'80s, while Mandela was in prison, Western gave him an honorary degree. We fought for that, and they did that.
What year was that?
I think it was 1986 or 1987 with President Heneke. That was his long struggle because there were, you know, Nelson Mandela was on the terrorist list until 2008. Could you believe that?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
When he came to the United States, he had to get an exemption from the terrorist list to come to the United States.
Wow.
And that in the 1980s, there was a lot of suspicion that he was still in the Communist Party and he was struggled with them. And that's why they didn't want to give him an honorary degree. But we worked hard on that. And to his credit, President Heneke ended up doing it.
If you we're running out of time here,
sure,
Don.
Yeah.
If you wanted to leave one nugget with listeners about Nelson Mandela, what would that nugget be?
The struggle for justice. It was clear with Mandela. Apartheid, it was clear injustice. Today, injustice is much more subtle. People are hurting terrible today. Poverty and injustice around the world. We have to renew the struggle, and the struggle's long, and we can't give up, but we have to put our hearts into it just like he did.
Yeah. Somebody wiser than me once said, the struggle continues.
Right.
Yeah. Really appreciate your
you.
Coming by this afternoon, Don. I'll be honest, you're the only person I've ever met that has ever met Nelson Mandela. And so that's certainly interesting.
It was a wonderful experience.
A pleasure to have you here today. Thanks for stopping
Thanks
by.
Thanks an awful lot for inviting me.
Appreciate it.
Love to talk about Mandela.
590 WKZO time is 3:30, mostly cloudy this afternoon, a snow shower in the area perhaps, and a high 28. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a couple of snow showers. Watch for slippery spots, a low of 19. Tomorrow, not a beautiful day. Times of cloud, maybe some sun, but tomorrow's high just 22. We'll talk to Bob Larson coming up at, in about 10 minutes, and we'll find out just how much snow we're going to get Sunday night. I'm looking forward to it. CBS News is next.
It is the show. I guess it's the show formerly known as The Trifecta. We still haven't come up with a name yet.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
But my name is Jeremy Lawrence. Roger's along with us as well here. Wow. This hour's flying by, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And Denny Cooley's in.
Denny's here, yes,
yeah. Good
course.
To be with you guys.
Derek in Master Control.
And a cast of thousands.
And Bob Larson in the AccuWeather Tower.
Roger, you almost sang his name there. That was
That's because I'm in awe.
Very melodic.
Bob Larson.
Yeah. And here's Bob Larson.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
Roger, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It's chilly here.
It is.
It's real chilly.
It really is. And without further ado, I'll just on that note get to my word.
And it is?
The word is prolonged.
Uh-oh.
I have to say it that way, too.
Prolonged.
Well, we have to stretch it out. What I'm talking about is the cold weather that has returned is going to last for a prolonged period of time. I suspect we might be below freezing both by day and night for at least a week straight, all the way through next Friday.
Oh, wow. Mm. This is the coldest stretch so far this year.
Absolutely.
Okay. How cold, Bob?
Well, we're not likely to break any records. Certainly, this will be a long-lasting cold snap, but and well below average, more typical of January rather than the first half of December, but Talking about a low tonight at 20, but not much of a climb tomorrow. Lower 20s, well down into the teens tomorrow night. Highs in the 20s again on Sunday. There is a weather disturbance that comes through Sunday night with some light snow. Earlier talked about maybe that being 1 to 3 inches. Looks like 1 would be more likely than 3 inches, but time will tell. This is for Sunday night. But what I am pretty confident of is the fact that after that goes by, it gets even colder for Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's when we can have nighttime lows that'll flirt with the single digits. And it's one of those days. It might be a struggle to get a high out of the teens, probably not much above 20, with some lake effect snow in the Tuesday, Wednesday time frame. So
I'm envisioning heavy coats,
siege.
Bob.
I'm sorry, what was that, Jeremy?
I'm envisioning heavy coats now.
Yeah.
And some of us are there already, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
What do the winds look like when that really cold weather gets here?
I think initially those winds will be very much a factor in the 15 to 25 mile per hour range Tuesday and Tuesday night, maybe a part of Wednesday, probably less so later in the week, but still cold. And I don't see any big storms on the horizon. There is a possibility of some snow maybe a week from now, not so much next Friday, maybe Friday night and Saturday, but you get that far out, timing is always very sketchy at best. But let's put it this way. It's a prolonged siege of cold. I don't see any mild weather anywhere on the horizon.
I get, you know, these prolonged periods of cold weather. I think they got a name for it. It's called winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much the case.
there are some people getting a lot more winter than we are today.
Right. Talking about the Deep South.
Uh-huh.
Major ice storm at Dallas. Schools closed. Businesses closed. Events canceled. Serious ice storm. It's not just Dallas. It's all across North Texas. Some snow thrown in for good measure. Parts of Oklahoma as well. Arkansas, power outages from freezing rain coating power lines and taking them down. Tree limbs snapping and taking down power lines. Serious stuff. A serious ice storm, serious winter storm over the southern plains. And that storm is moving northeastward. Ice is now spreading northeastward with it, and it's going to be transitioning over to mostly snow. The interior northeast, not New York City, not Boston, not Philadelphia, but the interior northeast, 100-200 miles inland, going to wind up with 6 inches or more of snow from that very same storm tonight.
Ooh. We dodged a bullet, so to speak.
All right. We get the cold and a few snow showers.
Yeah.
Might leave a covering tonight, maybe a half inch, but no snowstorms and certainly no ice storms.
Okay, now it is Friday, and so we've got to go geek here.
We do.
Let's get the numbers.
All right, and we were preempted last week on Black Friday because of football.
Yes.
So we got some catching up to do. So let's take a look at the year. We'll compare last year to this year, and of course we're almost through with the year. But at this point last year, we were 3.3 degrees above average, and this year 0.2 degrees below average. That's a 3.5-degree swing. Precipitation, the difference is more pronounced. Last year at this point, 7.92 inches in the deficit, 7.92 inches below average rainfall, snowfall-wise, and this year about 6 inches above.
That's
nearly a
14-inch
swing.
Yeah.
Snowfall for the early part of the season last year, you know what our total was through this date last year, snowfall-wise? How about a trace, not even a tenth of an inch? This season we stand at 2.7.
Oh.
It's not a lot.
Not bad.
2.7 is a lot more than a trace.
If you looked at percentages, that would be scary.
would.
More snow this year than last.
Yeah. Now, for the month, of course, we're only a few days into the month, so I'll go through these very quickly, but we were off to a very mild start last December. At this point, 5-6 days into the month, we were 12.5 degrees above average. Of course, we've had mild weather the past few days. We're at 6.9 above average. Precipitation-wise, last year, December early on, we were at 0.37. This year, only 0.1 so far. They're both below average. Snowfall-wise, not even a flake last December at this point. This December, we've had 1.5 inches so far.
So this whole below average thing, this is kind of a place where we like to be at this particular
for
point.
For snow, yeah.
Yeah. The storm on Sunday night, that first inch you mentioned, that's new precipitation, correct? Not
right.
Lake effect.
Right. It's a storm. It's coming up from the south, and we'll be on the northern fringe of it, and expecting probably not much more than an inch or so. farther south, parts of Indiana, Ohio might be 1 to 3. I don't think anyone gets clobbered by it. It's not a huge storm. But, the farther south you go, the more snow there can be.
Sort of our primer for what winter is like.
Yeah.
Yes. Appreciate all the information. You have yourself a good weekend, Bob.
Thank you, too, and stay warm.
We'll talk to you Monday afternoon.
Monday it is.
Have a good one.
Take care.
We have 25 degrees in Kalamazoo.
Downright balmy.
Yeah. You don't get used to it because it's going away, folks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And next up, we're going to talk about Art Hop.
Art Hop.
Art Hop is coming up tonight. We're going to be talking with Beth McCann from the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo. Beth, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Now, you've got a big one coming up tonight. Of course, you told me that December of the monthly Art Hops is always the biggest of them. So give us a preview of what people can expect.
It is. We have 78 sites all around downtown Kalamazoo. So you can find businesses open on the Kalamazoo Mall, south towards Deacon Mahaman Architects and Ninth Wave Studio, Park Trades, down Portage Road, the station and Spirit Shop, all the way up to Western Michigan University and the Richmond Center, and just so much to do. You need to put your track shoes on tonight and come on downtown.
Beth, Jeremy Lawrence here. I just have a question because, and this is just a personal question. I'm new to town. Art Hop, I know it because that's what it's called. Can you give me kind of a description? And I'm sure there's other people as well that maybe don't know what Art Hop is. Give us a little definition.
Sure. Actually, Art Hop started in 1995 as a gallery walk. And so this is really an enhanced, many, many times over, gallery walk. So downtown businesses open their doors to local artists, and they come in, and some exhibits are there for just tonight. Businesses on the downtown Kalamazoo Mall, for example, or you can go into gallery spaces like the Arts Council Gallery, which has the exhibit up all month. So you literally just sort of hop from one business to another, talk to the local artists, get a sense of the art scene. We have not just visual artists. We also have music. So, for example, the Kalamazoo Valley Museum, the Kalamazoo Mandolin and Guitar Orchestra is playing. So it's just a fun atmosphere. We shut down the road, the main street of the mall, and just becomes a kind of a large, fun street party right before the holidays.
Hi, Beth. Raj Taylor here.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Is 78 a particularly large one? I don't recall ever hearing a number of that magnitude before.
It is particularly large. We've actually grown. Art Hop has grown considerably in the last year. So our Art Hops are getting consistently larger. But 78, I think, is the largest one we have ever had. So it's fun. We usually average around 25 to 30, and then four times a year we partner with Downtown Kalamazoo Incorporated and for what we call Art Hop and More, and that's what December is. And those usually have between 50 and 60 businesses, but those have grown this year as well, and this month we're up to 78.
Wow. That's huge.
It is big. And for those who have never been, it happens monthly. It's the first Friday of every month. If you would like more information, give us the website again, Beth.
You can go to KalamazooArts.org. You can download a PDF of our brochure, and also has images on there so you can see what the artists are exhibiting.
And we're getting underway tonight at 5?
We are getting underway at 5, and most businesses are open till 8 o'clock. Some are open till 9, and then you can enjoy your time downtown and have dinner or go to a show or just enjoy downtown.
Beth, do you have any idea of the number of people who will participate with 78 locations?
Are you talking artists or people that are coming down for Art Hop?
People that are coming down for Art Hop.
We expect a crowd of probably over 4,000 tonight.
Wow.
That's big.
Yeah. It is big.
Yeah.
It's big. The economic impact of Art Hop to Kalamazoo annually is over $700,000. Wow. So when you come down to Art Hop, you're supporting your local artists. We always joke, everyone asks us about, you should have Art Prize in Kalamazoo. And our response is, we have better than Art Prize. We have Art Hop 12 times a year. So
there you go.
that's a great way to support your local artists as well as your local businesses.
Yeah, and do your Christmas shopping.
Exactly.
All at once.
All at once.
And some of them actually serve wine.
That's right.
And I think he's saying fill out that Christmas tag to Roger.
That's right.
We'll just keep you warm inside.
That's right.
That's Roger.Taylor. Hey, Beth, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and thanks for joining us this afternoon.
I'm glad to do it. Anytime talk about Art Hop, I take the opportunity.
Thanks, Beth.
Bye.
590 WKZO time is 3:52, and still 25 degrees on the outside. Tomorrow you'll think of this as warm, folks.
Ow. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I'm just saying. We'll be back right after this.
Show of hands, how many of us are feeling that way?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm
okay.
There.
All hands went up.
Oh, yeah.
And if you were driving just now, get your hands back on the wheel.
Please.
At least one of them.
And sounded like you were about to talk there.
Yeah.
No, we all stopped.
No.
I'm sorry.
I was in rapt attention.
It was just going to be a smart aleck remark. And I thought I'd
smart aleck remarks are welcome here.
Yeah. Hold that.
We
know.
Do those. You know.
I know that. I know. And I enjoy doing those.
That's our specialty.
That's right. I was just going to say, if you don't have your hands on the wheel, please don't be out there after 5 o'clock for our sake.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
true. We're
right?
Safe for a while.
Right. Be where you're going or pull off the road.
Right. Just do that.
We're in the interior of the building, so you'd
right.
have to be going really fast to get to us. CBS News is next, followed by a local news update from the 590 WKZO.com newsroom.
Continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.